ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. My guest today is Matt Britton. Matt is the founder and CEO of Suzy. He's a prolific new media entrepreneur and a leading expert on the millennial generation. Hi, Matt. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
For your entire career, you've been a youth trend expert and entrepreneur. And by entire career, I mean practically from the womb. You started your first business while you were still in college. You were your own target audience, and you've been on the 30 under 30 list. And then when you aged out of that, the 40 under 40, called a modern day Don Draper, when you had Mr. Youth Marketing Agency. And then you went on to create CrowdTap, a social media marketing platform. And as if that wasn't enough, in 2015, you wrote a best-selling book, Youth Nation, about the impact that the millennial generation would have on business. So you've really had an interesting career progression, focusing on a cohort and their interaction with the technology, and then weaving things together to continue to help brands and businesses connect with young audiences. And currently, you're the founder and CEO of Suzy, which evolved from CrowdTap and is described as a real-time intelligence software. What exactly does real-time intelligence software mean?
Yeah, sure. So over 250 enterprise customers licensed the Suzy platform to be able to access an always-on panel of over 1.5 million U.S. citizens who basically are answering questions in real time to allow our customers to make better, more informed business decisions. So it's essentially an on-demand market research tool.
Oh, so cool. So if I'm the marketing person at a brand, I just type my query. Is that how I interact with the platform?
That's right. Yep. So basically there's two sides of the platform. CrowdTap, which is the legacy name of the company, is our consumer brand. And that's where the 1.5 million US consumers live. They're on a gamified application, either on Android or iOS. And then the customer facing brand is called Suzy. Customers pay an annual license to be able to access the Suzy platform. And while they're on this platform, which is a self-service platform, you can basically create your own segments. You can create your own target list of which customers you want information from, what type of questions you want to ask, anything from a simple multiple choice question to even engage in live online focus groups with customers. And basically, you ask the right question and instantly you'll have answers start popping up on the screen.
So that's an interesting, you asked the right question.
Yes.
I had a boss who said, you know, I know enough to be dangerous. So how do you, is there a mechanism to help them not craft a question that has two parts and so the answer may not be relevant, things like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, so we have a managed service group that does everything from we onboard our customers in a very intricate way to make them understand how to use the platform and how the power of the platform applies to their business and business goals. And we've also built in a variety of different templates into the product itself to really produce some guide rails for the users aren't as astute in market research. The real goal of Suzy is to democratize the notion of market research. Market research is an industry that's really led by a bunch of sleepy legacy incumbents who have not really innovated at the rate of disruption in business. And because of that, most business decision makers are left with very few choices in terms of having consumer feedback drive their business decisions. To go to traditional research is either too expensive or it takes too long or it's too cumbersome. And in the absence of a tool that meets their needs, they're guessing a lot. And when you guess without consumer feedback, in this ever-changing world, you tend to make a lot of mistakes. And that's really what Suzy is produced to be the antidote for.
Right. So I have two questions coming out of that. In the materials that I read, which tracks with this, it was that every decision brands make can be tested. I was curious how you sourced your panels, but also sometimes there's a gap between what people say they'll do and what they actually do. And how do you correct for that?
Right. So I can answer the second question first, which is that's a market research issue, right? Uh-huh. People saying they're going to do one thing and doing something else. We don't need to solve the problem of market research. We just need to be the best possible market research tool.
Right.
Market research is a $50 billion US industry. And, if we get our fair share, we're going to be able to create a tremendous business and drive a lot of value for our shareholders. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, yes, there is always a difference between what consumers say and what they do. However, market research is more than that because it's really uncovering the why. So we can ask consumers what your favorite brand of sneaker is. And if 28% say Adidas, we can go back to those 28% and say, why do you love Adidas? Or what packaging do you like the best for this new detergent launch? Consumers could say, we like version 3. And we can say, what about version 3 makes you most attracted to that version? So it can help companies learn. So there's so much more to market research than just people saying they're going to do something. And even in that regard, we have a way to test and benchmark against that and see if they did do what they said they were going to do. How we sourced our panel. So the panel actually started being formed way back in 2011 when we spun out CrowdTap as its own company. I incubated CrowdTap within my agency, Mr. Youth, which later was rebranded MRY. We built a piece of software originally meant to manage and measure college student ambassadors, which is a big service offering. And then we started to have a lot of agencies and publishers ask if they can license this software. So we spun it out as its own company called CrowdTap in 2011. And over time, that business sort of morphed into this platform where users would sign up to be able to earn rewards for creating content on behalf of brands. And by the time I took over as CEO of CrowdTap in 2016, over a million highly engaged users had signed up for the platform, but the company had gone sideways. The original business use case for these users really wasn't paying off. And that's where I had the idea to pivot to Suzy. So, the panel is now 8-9 years in the making. And that's why we've been able to create such a scalable panel. It's not easy to do, but over time you can do it.
Right. And how real is real time? Like how quickly, if I'm in it.
Yeah. I mean, you can ask a question. What three words come to mind when you think of the brand Lululemon? And instantly you'll start seeing a word cloud pop up of consumers answering it. And within 10 minutes, you'll have 500 responses.
And do you help provide information to the brand so that they understand the relevancy, what the sort of margin of errors are?
Sure. Yeah. Statistical significance. Absolutely.
I read marketing research reports, which are a little, things may look like they're differences, but if you're 10 point spread, it really isn't significant. So how do you help?
So here's the reality. Yeah, it is. But here's how we're reinventing market research. Most of the questions asked on Suzy, actually, if it weren't for Suzy, would just be guesses. So isn't better to have 500 people give feedback on a decision you're about to make than zero, and you just making a decision based upon your own gut instinct? So really, that's what we're trying to compete with, is everyday decision-making based upon just guesses, and people's myopic points of view that maybe their daughter on the way to school told them something, and that's going to impact the decision they make for a Fortune 500, right? So that's really what we're trying to prevent against. Now, so we call that sort of directional research.
Right.
If you want to have it much more data and pinpoint, you have to have a bigger sample size, which means that you have to, it takes a little bit longer, and often it takes intervention from our customer success team to help you splice and dice the data and make sure it's accurately weighted. So you can do you can span the gamut from very quick, you get something in the first couple minutes to help you really understand if you're going in the right direction, to basically having Suzy validate a very critical business decision. We had a customer last year test three different Super Bowl spots because there was an incident that happened, that happened in society that made a customer question, is this Super Bowl ad going to turn people off? And basically, it was too late in the cycle for them to be able to go through a traditional market research platform. So they used Suzy to help validate and make them feel more confident about running that spot, which they did.
Well, what's interesting there is I wonder if that didn't also make them think, we could use this for other market testing.
Well, the idea is we started off as a cute, fun tool that really had a very you know, almost like pinpoint use case. And then as we built the sophistication of the platform and we brought on some of the leading market researchers in the world to help, you know, really direct this, because I don't have a market research background. And I think that is a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing at the beginning because you don't have the curse of knowledge. And I was just coming in thinking there's got to be a better way, because I've been running an agency for 15 years and had seen companies make multi-million dollar decisions based upon guesses and some guesses fail, right? But now as you get bigger and you try to do what you just said, convince clients that there's a broader use case, you need to have a certain level of sophistication and rigor in terms of the way that you visualize and analyze data, et cetera. That's something that wasn't really intuitive to me. So, you know, this past year, we've really sort of shifted in our team building strategy to bring on people from the traditional market research world. Now it's time for us to actually grow up in that side of our business to really become a true player in the industry.
Right. I mean, what's interesting is this is really different than, say, going to a Comscore or Nielsen and asking them to run a survey, because it's much faster and it seems like it's much closer to the brands.
Well, it's also software. So, you know, market research software isn't new. There are two players that both came on the market around 10 to 15 years ago. One was called SurveyMonkey and one was called Qualtrics. Qualtrics was recently acquired by SAP last year. The difference with those companies is that when they entered the market, online market research was very nascent. And because of that, they didn't sell to large enterprises. They had a freemium model where you could sign up, use the tool for free. And if you wanted to pay $1,000 a year, you know, you could basically get some advanced features, et cetera. And even to this day, a company like SurveyMonkey, their average revenue per user is about $600. When we entered this space in 2018, online market research was much more mature in its evolution and adoption amongst enterprises. There was much more of an appetite to sell something like this in to more traditional market research departments and brand marketing departments at large enterprises. So we went straight to an enterprise level sale. Our average customer value is nearly $100,000 versus $600 for SurveyMonkey. So it's a completely different strategy because we entered the market at a completely different time.
Right. Well, you know, I'm curious because a hallmark of your earlier career was a real in real life connection to your audiences, a very high touch, you know, obviously you've got the panels are connecting to real members of the audiences, but it was high touch and in person. And Suzy is really very different. And it leans into the data and then artificial intelligence. What made you make that shift?
I mean, it's a great question. The world's changed, you know, like when I first started, way back in, you know, 2002, my agency, Mr. Youth, the only way to reach college students was actually the only effective way, because before that, brands were just buying ads in college newspapers, is to actually do hand-to-hand combat. So we would hire, you know, students to go on campus and hand out flyers and talk things up, et cetera. Super powerful, not very scalable, right?
Right.
Then in 2004, Facebook came on the scene. I actually sold in the first ads ever to run on Facebook in late 2004, working directly with Mark Zuckerberg and Eduardo Saverin, right when it started, because we had this college rep network and we were deep in the campus. And when Facebook first launched, they were just targeting college students. You had a .edu address. And that was really the start of a new world. And it was about, you know, you could do things digitally and more scalable and more efficiently. And over time, that's obviously progressed. We're now Google and Facebook, the duopoly and, you know, programmatic media are, you know, two of the most valuable companies in the world. I just shifted my focus in my career along with the innovations, the societal innovations, technological innovations. And now the best way to reach people is through digital. It just is. It's much more efficient. It's much more trackable. It's much more scalable. And because of that, my career trajectory has changed along the way.
Right. One of the things that I think also was really interesting about your earlier career is you were your target audience and you understood that some of the big brands were really missing nuances and sort of the granular human level changes that were going on. Now, Suzy's number one value is people come first. How do you stay in tune with those granular human level changes so that the questions that are being asked are the right questions? How do you help them ask the right questions? Because sometimes that can be the part, that can be the miss.
You're right. There's best practices in market research. Like the good thing about what we're doing is we're not inventing a new field or a new category. Market research has existed for a very long time, and there's science behind it. And there's different types of market research. There's concept testing, there's A/B testing, there's UX testing, right? That basically most research falls into a category, and that category has best practices in terms of ways to ask questions and ways to analyze the data so you can actually make an informed decision coming out of it. We don't need to reinvent that. We just need to actually provide a better mousetrap, right? An easier way. And what we're trying to do is, again, democratize. And that's important because if you look at a tool like Squarespace, right, or Wix, what that those companies are doing is they're democratizing the ability to create a website. Before those tools, you had to hire an expensive agency or you just had a terrible website. It was one or the other, right?
Yeah,
but now
true.
Everybody can have a cool website, right? They've democratized it. We want to do the same thing with consumer insights and research. I mean, think of every company name that, you know, whether it's a bakery or a local pizza shop that's trying to guess what their logo should be, what consumers will like, to the biggest companies in the world and what their Super Bowl spot's going to be, and everything in between. There's not really a tool out there that's effectively democratized the notion of getting consumer feedback. And that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to make it easy, accessible, and powerful to everybody. We're starting with the enterprise, but eventually we will work our way down.
Is there a la carte? Because if I'm my local bakery, I may not need, you know, full subscription, but I would like to be able to take advantage of this. And, you know, SurveyMonkey is great, but my gosh, it's so, you know, if I don't know what I'm doing, I would like some rails. So is that currently something you do or not yet?
It's not our focus because for us, you know, my goal as CEO is to maximize shareholder value. And I do that by accelerating growth. And to us, our growth opportunity is within the enterprise. And it's where a lot of these competitors that you mentioned want to go. Over time, we will move our way down market. But it's interesting because right now everyone's all trying to move their way up market.
Right, of course. Now
it's not a focus. Yeah, we're already there. And listen, you know, we have a lot of work to do, and we compete with very powerful companies, whether it's traditional legacy companies or some of the software companies we mentioned, you know, like Qualtrics I mentioned, they require for $8 billion by SAP. You know, we just started 2 years ago.
Right.
We've moved very fast. What we do really well is we simplify, we know how to storytell, and we understand business. I think I look at market research as a means to an end, and I've seen over the last 20 years, these companies try to figure out what their consumers are thinking and feeling. And again, that's really the solution we tried to solve for, really a consumer first lens. But we didn't fall in love too much with the notion of traditional market research, which is really what allowed us to innovate.
Right. When thinking about market research, is there a difference with how they should be thinking about data insights and youth, how it relates to youth audiences? Is there anything about, you know, the cycles of change?
It's a great question. So I think the biggest change is less about youth. It's just more about, you know, what the millennial generation ushered in, which is really the thesis of my book, Youth Nation. It's just a new way of thinking about the consumer and interacting with the consumer. You know, the mobile generation, the millennial generation is the biggest thing that makes them different is they were the first generation to adopt internet in the household, right? Mm-hmm. So people who are Gen Xers didn't have internet in the household growing up. So they didn't grow up with them. They're not a digital native, so to speak. Millennials were. Gen Z is the first generation to grow up with mobile devices in the household, right? So now as time passes, the oldest millennial now is 42 years old. You know, the millennials now are the CFOs of the household, right? They're deciding what detergent to buy, right? And what dish soap to buy. So it's not just the youth audience anymore. It's really the core consumer audience. Every year is getting more millennial as their base, which means digital becomes de facto. And as Gen Z gets older, and as obviously mobile adoption continues to be driven across consumers around the world, it's really a mobile first outlook. So why I'm saying that is to answer your question, the biggest way market research has to shift is consumers interact with companies and content completely differently. It's got to be built for the flick. It's got to be super short form. They're not going to fill out a 15-page survey, you know, about laundry detergent. It's just their brains are not built that way. No, they're not. But that's how market research has been built, right? So our CrowdTap experience is built for the flick. You're answering one question about one thing, one question about something else. And then maybe like a couple hours later, you'll get a retargeted question about something you already answered. But it's built mobile first for, you know, the brains and the attitudes and behaviors of these new types of consumers. So I think that's the biggest shift is the way that you collect the insights from the consumer.
So I'm a global brand. And it sounds, is the panel US centric or is it global?
So our own proprietary panel is US centric, but then we have partners that allow us with a different set of functionality to access other panels all over the world.
Have you noticed any, you know, youth culture differences? I know Spotify had recently, or not recently, maybe last year, had talked about musical tastes being more consistent by generation than by country. Right. There were some real, there were real global cultural elements of this cohort. Are you seeing that in your research, or is that really a music only thing?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, so I don't really do research, right? I'm trying to build a tool for our customers. So I don't spend all day long just asking questions for consumers. I spend all day talking to our customers and trying to build the best possible
software.
I was
just thinking in terms of, I mean, that's a sort of a big a trend that, you know, when you're selling, you would say, this is something you need to be aware of, or we're, you know, so how do you
I mean, listen, consumers, people all over the world, consumers all over the world, especially youth, are obviously have different behaviors and attitudes and habits. And, you know, I've traveled over the world to do public speaking and I see it. Like, you know, I was in the Nordics last year and Amazon hadn't arrived there yet. I was in Australia 2 years ago. There was no Amazon. Not having Amazon is a cultural shift that changes consumers' mindset about their expectations of when they're going to be able to receive the products they purchase. That changes the way that they look at brands, right? That they're
I mean, it changes your, especially for instance, right now, you're looking at Amazon as setting the bar for digital retail experience.
That's exactly right. That's so if it doesn't exist, then there's a different bar. And when I ask people in the Nordics, like if they really want Amazon, what I heard overwhelmingly is, no, we don't want, we get home at 4 o'clock and, you know, it's the happiest place on earth, the Nordics. You know, that's what the studies say. People get home at 4 o'clock and they want to be with their families. They don't need somebody knocking on their door at 5:30 with a package. They just don't live at that cycle. So culturally, the demand wasn't even there, which is why Amazon probably put it later on the priority list. They probably did market research and learned that, listen, the Nordics aren't, people in the Nordics aren't in a rush to have Amazon here. Right. So that's an example. It's a lens I've looked through to say, okay, yeah, consumers are different there. Young people are different there. And that's just one of obviously a gazillion examples of why people are different around the world. There's, you know, underdeveloped nations, there's advanced nations, there's some nations that obviously were highly censored, you know, China, North Korea, Russia, et cetera, where people can't access the same information growing up. So there's obviously nuances around the world.
Right. When you're looking at your, I mean, obviously your own, your panel is youth and how they interact, this gamified experience.
Our panel is actually census weighted across all census based criteria.
So, my bad. All right. Your panel is representative sample. Sorry. I stand corrected. How do you keep on top of what you may need to do so that your own panel doesn't become strangely skewed by who likes gamified stuff? I mean, for instance, if you think about Twitter, it has its own oddities, and same with Facebook, same with Instagram. So how do you make sure that your sample really is, you know, diverse and representative?
Yeah.
Oh, and the second part would be, and how do you then, you know, to your point about, you know, digital native, then mobile native, and, you know, we're probably getting to the point where we'll have audio native, you know, what are those things that what are the signals that you watch to bake into your own product?
Yeah, this is a great question. So we have a very talented team that just oversees the CrowdTap brand. And the CrowdTap is our company is unique in that we have a B2B brand, which is Suzy, and a B2C brand, which is CrowdTap. So the B2C go-to-market strategy is completely different, right? And the data that they're looking at is completely different.
Right.
They are, one big business goal they have every year is making sure that we have a weighted sample size across census-based criteria that includes income, geography, age, race, ethnicity, to make sure that we are census-based. And that's, as long as we can deliver that, then, you know, we're delivering a panel that is highly valuable for our clients. And obviously we need to make sure that we have a product that is attractive to a broad base, because that's not easy, right? You talk about certain tech products and they only appeal to one demographic. So we are looking at different strategies now as we grow to not only in the US, but globally with our own product, because we do intend building a global proprietary panel to basically, you know, build other products that will just feed into Suzy or work with partners, because CrowdTap doesn't have to be the only panel product that feeds into Suzy.
Right.
We could build three or four other ones that feed into Suzy. And those are things that we're looking at right now as we look towards 2021 and beyond.
Fascinating. Another question. If I'm a media brand and I, you know, you had talked about testing a spot, is this, I can use this to focus group promos, spots, campaigns, things like that?
Yeah, we have a ton of media companies that are working with us and advertising groups within big companies that are testing, you know, their digital creative, their videos, et cetera.
Wow. So looking ahead, you're always reinventing, you're always pushing boundaries. So what's coming down the pike for you? What's up next on in your plan?
Well, I mean, my focus is Suzy, and we have built a tremendous product that's grown, you know, in a very impressive way in a short period of time. And right now, that's the only thing I think about, the only thing I'm focused on from a business standpoint, just because of the market opportunity we have. And, you know, we want to make a great product, and we want to democratize and sort of disintermediate the traditional forms where companies are collecting consumer feedback and create the most powerful, widely used tool on the planet. That's really the focus of ours. And we think we can get there based upon, you know, we're working with the largest brands in the world right now, and many of which are saying that Suzy is a verb at their company, or it's helped them really reinvent the way they're thinking about go to market. So we know that we're only 2 years into the product development cycle. And we just until recently, you know, raised a big funding round that will allow us to really invest in technology.
Fantastic.
So we think it's only get more powerful. And that's really, you know, so it's less about reinvention now, and it's more about evolution versus revolution, right? We want to evolve the product and optimize the product so we can continue to, you know, to succeed and grow in the marketplace.
Fantastic. So I'm an enterprise. I can subscribe. Are there various levels of subscription, or is it
various levels of subscription? Yep. Different entry level price points based upon the amount of usage you think you have, the amount of users, the specificity of the targeting that you want on the platform.
Wow. So cool. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I think it's a great product.
Yeah. Thank you. Your questions were awesome.
Aim to please.
I really appreciate the question you asked. They were really insightful. So I appreciate that.
Thanks so much. We've reached the end of another episode of Up Next, and I'd like to close by thanking my production team at Up Next, my friend Rob Naughton, the voice artist who recorded our open, and of course, all of you, the members of our audience. Thank you. I'll be talking to you again next time right here on Up Next.